In our Ozarks at Large series on poverty, we have talked about the various meanings of poverty, people who are most likely to be poor, misconceptions that surround the issue, its causes, and the ways in which it affects all of us. Today, we take a step further to really understand what it is like to live in poverty. This past summer, Ozarks at Large's Ithi Agnihotri Madokar shadowed Casey Bird, a single mother of two from Springdale, to learn more about her daily life. Casey is one of about 530,000 people living under the federal poverty line in the state of Arkansas.
Casey Bird is sitting on the sidelines at the University of Arkansas Track and Field Stadium. She is with her son Isaac and two children she babysits, Tina and Alexander. Isaac is part of the Top Gun Track Club in Springdale. Casey, previously a massage therapist and an esthetician, now works as a Head Start teacher in Springdale during the school year. But since the Head Start programs are not in session during the summer, she babysits and finds other ways to provide for her family of three. Casey is a single mother to her 11-year-old daughter, Catherine, and 7-year-old son, Isaac, and their family is one of the thousands living under the poverty level in the state.
Can we go?
The track practice is held at the U of A Stadium every weeknight during the summer. For Casey, that means loading four, maybe five kids she babysits during the week in the car and bringing them along to the practice. By the time everyone gets home, it will already be 8 o'clock at night.
I get my first child at about 6:30, so I wake up about 6. And then I usually have everybody by about 8. And we do breakfast, and we do usually a morning activity, and then we'll have lunch, and depending on what's served at lunch, we go to the school where they have free lunch, and sometimes we take advantage of that, and then after that we come home and nap time, and then we get up and we have snack, and then we go outside, and then it's pickup. And then some stay with me, and then we have track practice, and then we come home and do dinner, bath, and bed, and then we do it all over again.
But life wasn't always a struggle for Casey. She says she had a happy childhood, but always struggled with borderline dyslexia in school. By the time she entered college, her parents divorced and her father withdrew his offer to sponsor her college education. She got a scholarship and went anyway, but continued to struggle because of her learning disability.
As a young adult, I just really lost focus of staying in school. I got overwhelmed with school. I think with my learning disability, it didn't take the right directions and get the right assistance and help that I needed to be able to be successful. And so I think I've definitely moved into massage school and continued to carry a job, but I lost focus on what was important and started hanging around the wrong people, and then got involved in a very abusive relationship, and ended up having a child as well in that situation, which added stress.
Casey finally managed to leave the abusive relationship and take her daughter with her. However, she soon found herself in another dysfunctional relationship, this time with an alcoholic, and gave birth to her second child.
So now I had two children that I was supporting and had not made the best choices and had not set up our life to be successful. And it's taken me a while, but I've definitely worked hard in that. And I've always been a hard worker, but if you can work really hard and not get anywhere.
Casey moved to Northwest Arkansas from Fort Smith, where she grew up in 2007, to start over and continue working as a massage therapist and an esthetician at a hotel. However, the 2008 recession hit her hard, and she lost all benefits and savings in her 401k account. At the time, Casey was already enrolled in Head Start to receive assistance as a parent. a Head Start teacher, Betsy Mann, encouraged her to find a better career path and apply for a job as a Head Start substitute teacher based on her interest in working with young children.
And she told me, why don't you go apply for Head Start and see about maybe being a substitute and go from there. And then I started that shortly after, became an assistant, and then got into school so that I could get my degree, so that my long-term goals would become more successful.
Casey is now getting a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Phoenix. She says the degree will enable her to help the children she teaches at Head Start in a better manner. She attends classes on Thursday nights and has 2 more years to go before getting her degree. Casey is looking forward to building a better future. However, getting there requires striking the perfect balance between setting priorities and allocation of limited resources. Sometimes, this balance needs to be struck every single day.
I receive food stamps and our kids. My kids are still on our kids. We're on our kids B now, so I pay a copay, which I'm thankful for that because I know that I'm moving off of assistance, but it's definitely still a struggle in the balance and making up. I'm glad that I'm moving forward and moving off, but I'm trying to prepare myself for when I'm, to make up for all of that, to take that balance and fill in that so that I don't ever revert back and have to, get back on assistance. I want to successfully move off.
Casey also receives unemployment assistance during the summer when she is laid off from Head Start, qualifies for a Pell Grant for college as she is a single parent, but receives no child support.
My monthly expenses are about $1,200 a month. I pay $500 in rent, and my bills average between $100 to $150, depending on how hot it gets, how long the air runs. And then I receive food stamps, about $120 a month.
Casey's annual income of close to $14,400 is considerably lower than the $19,000 a family of three should make annually to live at the federal poverty level. Casey says her unemployment check takes care of rent and most of her bills. She usually has to budget in more money for food expenses because the food stamps don't last through the end of the month. Doing odd jobs helps her take care of other expenses.
I have always worked more than one job. I do cleaning as well. I've done some commercial cleaning and I clean people's houses. And I still do massage and skincare. I have little massage parties or facial parties, some on the side. And so I've always had to carry more than one job to be able to keep things afloat.
For Casey, making ends meet is always a struggle, but she is grateful for not being debt-ridden. She says things could have been worse.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Like a diamond in the sky. Tina say, this next song is singing, ooh-la-la.
While Tina and Alexander belt out a rendition of a popular number, Casey continues telling me about how she is excited about getting her degree and moving up on the pay scale, but nervous about losing financial assistance.
So I will lose food stamps, I will lose our kids. And so having to move on to a family medical plan will take a lot of my check, as well as budgeting and the food expense. So in actuality, when I make more money, I'm actually going to be making around the same. So I'm going to have to really balance my budget because I will be in the middle class with everybody else that is struggling to stay afloat, struggling to keep their health care paid, struggling to keep all their bills paid. It's really a trench that you're trying to keep up with and move out of.
And Casey is not alone in her assessment. A July 2012 survey conducted by Pew Research Center has found that the economic well-being of the American middle class has deteriorated over the past 10 years. People who identify themselves as middle class have lost income and wealth and are not very optimistic about the future.
Up, Darius, off the ground, we explode when we run. We ain't trying to stay close to it. We kind of get up off of it.
In a moment, we'll hear more from Ithi Agnihotri-Madolkar and Casey Bird as Ithi's profile continues. That's just ahead on Ozarks. You're listening to Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Ozarks at Large's Ithi Agnihotri-Madolkar is profiling Casey Bird, a Head Start teacher and single mother of two who lives under the federal poverty line. We now continue to learn more about Casey and her family.
Be still and listen and watch the sun glisten on the water. Make a person smile, you'll be friends for a while.
Local singer-songwriter Shannon Wurst is performing at the Springdale Public Library. Casey Bird is here with three children whom she babysits, plus one of her own. Casey often makes use of free events such as this one to keep the children entertained. She says the family doesn't go out much.
We do not. That's hard to. We can't really afford that. That gets pretty expensive, and then the food's not all that great sometimes. So then you've basically paid a lot of money, and then you know that's just being out there with more of society. I would rather make a picnic and go to the park later in the evening when nobody's there, or go find, you know, go to the mountains or go to a creek, or you know, we'll put food around our little coffee table and pretend like we're eating Chinese food, and we'll just have Uncle Ben's rice and some chicken or something like that, you know, but we have little chopsticks and we'll eat it with that.
Casey says she is striving to become financially stable to where she doesn't have to work another job or fit extra hours of work into her schedule if an unexpected bill shows up in the mailbox. Other struggles are more personal and come with the responsibility of being a single parent.
My daughter's moving into teenage, and so just the being the constant disciplinarian and not having that feedback, that can be a challenge too at the end of the day. If you're in a two-parent home, you can kind of feed off each other, or you can tag in. If you're too tired, you can say, okay, it's your turn.
She is also torn between staying single and seeking a relationship.
I have had two unsuccessful relationships, and my children have both been through those. So deciding on, do I just stay as a family of three and just really try to teach them how to take care of themselves and be with themselves? Or do I take that risk in getting back out there and trying to find somebody to be a part of our family? It's definitely, you know, a struggle.
Casey says, even though she loves being around children, she misses interacting with people her age. We go back to her home to talk a little more. The house is modest and well-kept. Casey tells me that by next summer, she hopes to move into her own house, a place being provided by Habitat for Humanity in exchange for sweat equity, an affordable down payment, and monthly mortgage payments.
You fill out an application and you have to be approved to be a partner family. You go through a selection committee and you give them all the ins and outs of everything. You give them your story, your history, the challenges that you have come through, what you want out of your future. You go through finance classes. They continue to look through. It's been about a two-year process. They continue to follow you financially. You invest 500 hours of community service per se, volunteer hours is what it is. And I've worked on helping other families. I've worked on building their homes. I'm also on the Habitat for Humanity committee. And just really, it's basically giving back.
Casey hopes that in a few years, after she is financially stable and her children have left the nest, she will move into her own house without any assistance and give the Habitat house back to Habitat for Humanity to help someone else in need. It is hard to not notice her optimism and drive to keep moving forward despite working 12 hours a day and struggling financially. Isn't it exhausting?
Absolutely. But what isn't? We have just, I think, a mass of exhaustion goes out every day. That is probably why we have 5-hour energy drink. But yes.
Casey says, slowly but steadily, she has built a support system of friends, family, and co-workers that she can turn to in case of emergencies. She says, help from her colleagues can be, in her words, heavenly.
I can get really stressed over a situation like that if I'm at work and my kids extremely need me over on this end, but I'm trying to handle my job, and that can make things very challenging. And my boss is extremely supportive in keeping that balance, and she knows that I, you know, want to be at work, and she, because I can be very head driven, and sometimes I need someone to say it's okay to do what you feel you need to do, either for your children or for your situation to make it better. It's okay to let something go in order to handle something else. But it is very hard for me to depend on somebody else. I get really anxious.
And what about the governmental support system? Is our government doing a good job of helping people in poverty?
Cushion maybe that if you were to fall, they're going to be there. But safety net as far as successfully helping you in your future, no. I feel like I have not been held accountable in any way, shape, or form from the government. Yes, I have to. There's a financial means that you have to meet before you can ever get government assistance. But I have never been encouraged or given a pathway or any type of education or assistance in moving off of the government help.
What about politics? Does she exercise the right to vote?
I do vote. And I do feel it's important to vote. Sometimes it's hard for me to vote. Because I get frustrated with so much of the negativity that comes with politics and the back and forth and back and forth. So I really have to work hard on educating myself. I think politics is just, I mean, I'm sure it matters on some level, but it doesn't matter when it comes to being kind, paying it forward, taking care of your fellow man. Politics just really doesn't have anything to do with that.
Casey says she is happy with who and where she is now.
It's definitely been a struggle, but it's been a good struggle. Like, I wouldn't change anything because I wouldn't be who I am. And a lot of times it's hard for me to tell my story because I feel like I've always felt like there's always somebody worse off than me and had more struggle than I have.
And when asked what she wants for the future, especially for her children, she says,
I want them to be happy within themselves and to definitely give. I want them to be known as enjoying life, being fun, being happy, and being responsible for themselves. I hope that they don't make some of the poor choices that I made. But I also want to teach them to be resilient and that to persevere through anything. And that there will be struggles and that there will be hurdles. And that if you put out a negative energy out there, negative is what you'll get back. And that if you put out a positive energy out there, that positive is what you'll get back. And I really want them to understand that, as simple as that.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Iti Agnihotri Mudholkar.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, we'll conclude our series with a panel discussion about Arkansas, poverty, and the future. Panelists will include current and former legislators, advocates, and more. That panel discussion will be on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large.